I think I let the music play too long, Ken, and but I was talking to our guest.
It's good music.
It is good music.
It's Eric's music.
Eric Campbell. Love Eric.
I mean, come
Campbell.
On.
Yeah. You know, we got to get him. You know, he hasn't been on this show.
He hasn't. What is wrong with that picture?
But what would we have him on for?
To play music.
Oh, just to play music? Yeah, I know he's got a lot of his own original stuff, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's getting to put us on. Look, can I be on there too?
Are you videoing?
Are you?
I can do a video. Hold on, let me do a video so I can post this. All right, y'all. We are live on the podcast of Men.
Male Encounters.
Male Encounters. Let me do this over. Male Encounters of the Life Kind.
Yeah. You don't get any ovaries with us, man. Right. This is a man show. <All
right. laughs> Hey, what's up, y'all? I am blessed to be a guest on the podcast.
Male Encounters.
Male Encounters.
Of the Life Kind.
Of the Life Kind. You know what I mean? What's your name? Introduce yourself.
Ken.
This is Ken. And this is
David.
Mr. David. And this is me, Lonnie Whitaker, a.k.a. Superman of Fitness, a.k.a. the Immortal Black Beast.
I don't know, Ken. I think we might have met our match. What do you think?
He's a hype man.
All right. Lonnie Whitaker, let's talk about what. How'd you get here? How'd you get to Farmington?
Oh, man, this has been a journey. So I retired out 2014, January 1st, 2014.
From the Army.
Yeah. I was in the Army for 22 years, 3 months, 36 hours, 19 minutes, and 22 seconds. But who's counting, right? So as I got out, the transition for me was hard because I was in for so long, and I did combat 4 times. So I was dealing with a lot of PTSD. I was trying to, you know, get that under control.
Yeah.
Then the transition from military life to civilian life was hard. So I kind of started moving around. I had a setback that caused me to move back to Arkansas. And I was just looking for, like, I think I was back in my hometown for like 6 months. And I wanted to use my GI Bill, but I didn't know where I wanted to go to school. So I was just looking up different stuff. And San Juan has a great physical therapy assistant program. So I drove out here, saw the school, you know, talked to a couple of people, counselors. I moved out here, and that's where it all started. I was here for maybe almost a year, still dealing with my PTSD, and actually got hospitalized here at the Behavioral Health Unit. And my doctor was like, "Why don't you just travel the world? Just get out and travel. You single, no kids. You know, go to Costa Rica, buy you a villa." Well, I moved to Albuquerque. I left here.
That's close to Costa Rica. Yeah.
But I moved to Albuquerque for about, about a month. And I saw a commercial about Belize. And I got a duffel bag. I put everything in the duffel bag, sold my car, got rid of my clothes, everything. I hit the road. I lived in Belize for like 6 months. And I lived in South America, Mexico. I did some traveling while I was there. I was just basically trying to find myself. I got sick in Peru 3 years ago. I moved back to Kansas, where I started my master's. And it was time for me to leave. I think, you know, Kansas was kind of like the preparation phase for me to come here. So when I started my doctorate, it was time for, Kansas has been the longest place I've been in 3 years. So I had that itch. I was like, it's time to go somewhere. Yeah. But, you know, because the pandemic hit, because every 3 to 6 months I was moving around. So I actually flew back over to Belize, but that wasn't, I don't believe, where God, you know, had or wanted me to be. And I said Farmington. It just out of the blue, it's like, move to Farmington. So I think I followed God's instructions. So since I moved back, everything just been falling in place.
Yeah.
Falling in place, yep. So,
yeah. Awesome, man.
I was impressed because you have... lost some weight, considerable weight, and I have a question for you, and I think you have answered this, but not for us. How much body fat do you have? When do you hear this?
My abdominal fat is around 3.7% body fat. So, three years.
All your fat, man, right here.
You wanna borrow any?
Well, actually, I have a bodybuilder show. I'm doing my pro show in June, in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
So, that was me.
Good Lord.
I was 40. I was 227 pounds. And the other picture is me now at 48. So,
yo, he showed me a picture that's got way too many bumps on it. That's just a lot of bumps on a body.
A washboard?
Is that what a washboard looks like?
Yeah. I had more like a kegboard.
Kegboard.
Well, what you are, this is the part that's fascinating me, Lonnie, because when we talked earlier, you're going to attempt to do something that, as far as we know, nobody has this special, what will we call it, be able to offer this as a doctor. I mean, you're studying to be a psychologist, right?
Right. Actually, I'm in my second year of my PhD. So how this came about, so when I got into bodybuilding, I wanted to bring something different. You know, the fact that I deal with PTSD, and I'm blessed to say that, you know, I'm one of the few that actually, you know, overcame the statistics, you know what I mean, when it comes to suicide, when it comes to, I've actually had two of my battle buddies who committed suicide because of, you know, PTSD and depression.
Yeah.
So I just didn't want to be that bodybuilder that's always showing his abs, you know, doing the same exercises. So when I started my master's is in psychology with an emphasis in health psychology. So when I started my doctorate, I was working on my dissertation, and I'm always looking to try to be different anything I do. So I was like, well, how can I bring something different to the game? So I specialized, basically, you know, when I joined the Army, I was in food service, you know, I was a drill sergeant. So my whole life has been basically health, nutrition, and fitness, you know, from the Army. So it just hit me one day, like, so when I started doing my research, you know, research have shown how counseling, fitness, and nutrition work separately. And researchers, psychologists have, and I even talk to counselors, they've always encouraged their clients to work out and eat healthy, but no one knows how to bridge it. So basically, my practice, what I'm doing now with my cognitive fitness studio, is I'm bridging counseling, fitness, and nutrition all together as one.
Right. Yep. Just so, round it out. Just put it all in the same thing. It's all related anyway, so exactly. just put it all in the same thing.
So what I do is I have cognitive techniques. I have cognitive techniques where you're doing low impact working out. So I'm training the mind and the body at the same time. And you have to be on the meal plan, because that's the whole part of the meal plan. So the goal is to influence those serotonins in your brain, to influence those serotonins to get the brain synapses to spark, which will cause the neurotransmitters to start talking to each other, which will reduce the symptoms of PTSD and depression. Right. Now, that's the theory. It's just putting theory into action. So what I've done, I have cognitive associations. So as you're working out, doing a particular exercises, you know, I'm calling out. So you have to study like a list of 10 things. So if I call out a color, you have to associate the color with the object next to it. So I also have it's called a self-reflection intervention. So before you start, you're gonna be in the mirror, and it's like journaling. So you're gonna tell yourself how you feel about yourself, or how you see yourself, and how you want to see yourself. So the goal is to get the negative thoughts of how you feel about yourself to the actual positive thoughts of how you want to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
So actually, I'm just helping people change their way of thoughts.
Right.
So I have, In my studio, I have cognitive associations strategically placed throughout the studio. So when you come in, you actually pick an affirmation. So you pick an affirmation and you stick with the so that's your affirmation through the whole time. So as we're working out, you're thinking about the affirmation along with the cognitive techniques. Now, I have a punching bag theory, to whereas I help people to develop their compassionate thinking, their positive thinking. So the client will stand in front of the punching bag, you know, and they will have time to just, you know, relax, close their eyes, and I want them to think about all the negative emotions that they're dealing with, all that anger, and you start punching that bag. So as you punch in that bag, you're actually calling out your positive affirmation. So as the negative energy is released through the punching bag, it's being backed up by the positive affirmations.
Yeah.
So that's in theory, you know what I mean? So
yeah. And and that activity itself is releasing serotonin and right. the whole thing. It's kind of like we're sitting here, right? We're looking out this window, and there's a gravel courtyard, and I want to learn how to wakeboard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we could go out in that courtyard mm-hmm. and flop a wakeboard down on the right. ground, uh-huh. and somebody could try and pull me around on it. It's just going to be disastrous. It's right. a lot of gravel. It's a lot of I don't have the right tools. I don't right. have the right thing. Mm-hmm. So that serotonin is going to lubricate everything up.
Exactly.
So instead of doing it on gravel, let's do it on water.
Exactly.
And then instead of having somebody pull me around, let's mm-hmm. go ahead and hook up to a boat. Let's mm-hmm. get the right tool and the right muscle and the right everything, just the right program pulling right. me along through mm-hmm. this thing so that I can actually learn how to do it right. and then have somebody guide me through it.
Exactly.
Just get in the right environment.
So my studio... It's not your traditional one-on-one personal trainer, you know, to training exercises, you know what I mean? So it's one-on-one, but it's more so of a clinical fitness therapy. So I encourage people to, like, when you come, I want you to be comfortable, like, let it out. Mm-hmm. However you need to let it out, if you want to cry,
yeah.
you know, if you want to, you know, say some words that's not appropriate, you know.
Sure.
Like, the studio is built for one-on-one. Like, this is your one-on-one time to be however you want to be. I got the punching bag, and if you want to hit the punching bag, you know, a few more times, it's there. And I'm yeah. also offering a community support groups that's free for anybody who wants to come. So Tuesday nights, it will be for the adults, it'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then on Thursday nights, I have it for the youth. At the same time, from 6 to 8, and I don't care who you are, whether you're Black, white, Native American, if you're in the LGBT community, if you practice Satanism, if you practice witchcraft, you know, if you are alien from another planet, I don't care, because PTSD don't discriminate, mental
right.
illness don't discriminate, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I've heard stories of where, you know, counselors who, and it's just stories I've heard, that counselors who didn't agree with a person's lifestyle refuse service.
Sure.
You know, as a psychologist, you know, as an upcoming psychologist, you know, you have to, you know, focus on the problem. You know what I mean? And their lifestyle is not the problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I encourage any and everybody to come, you know? So
yeah. Yeah. So what if I truly believe I'm probably 90% robot? Is that still...
Yeah, that's still okay.
I found a spring right outside the shower the other day, and I thought, oh my God, I'm falling apart.
You really have no idea where the spring came from.
No, yeah. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I sometimes find you robotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're rebooting when I can't get an answer out of you, right? Everything's being redone.
I'm processing.
Processing,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, this is a good time. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, maybe more in depth about exactly, because I love this whole idea of putting it all, and I think I asked you this before, but why didn't they think of this sooner? I mean, why didn't somebody think of this? What you're trying to do, there's not... any that you know of, anybody that is doing exactly going to have the credentials that you're talking about?
You know, I haven't seen, you know, from my experiences being, you know, now that I'm in my PhD, you know, when I've seen counselors, you know, I haven't seen any counselors who's on that level of fitness than I am. And then the bodybuilders that I follow, I don't know the level of degree that they have, but the ones I follow, it's always getting ready for a bodybuilding show, talking about how to work out, you know. So I don't know. I guess this was my era, my time to actually bring it all together.
I got you. All right.
Yeah.
Stand by a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. I mean, I love it.
And you said this is man encounters. I'm sorry.
Male encounter.
Male encounter.
Male encounter. Yeah, see, you got nasty pictures on your stand by.
Don't touch that dial. Or anything else for that matter. David and Ken are going to break for just a couple of minutes. Winterwear Concepts is the proud producer of wonderful podcasts like Male Encounters of the Life Kind, The Glower Chronicles, and the flagship that started it all, The General's Wake Up Call. From TV and radio production to assisting with your next podcast idea, InterWest can do it all. To find out how to become a part of the family, head on over to our webpage,
InterWestConcepts.com.
Whether buying or selling, our experienced realtors at Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Golden Door are here to help. Come see us in beautiful downtown Farmington, New Mexico at 228 West Main Street. Check us out at goldendoorfarmington.com or give us a call at 505-325-4153.
Oh, hi there. I need some marketing. Who do you recommend?
Ken Collins Marketing.
I'll probably just get a hold of Ken Collins Marketing.com.
Traeger's offers specialty drinks, classic libations, domestic and craft beers, wine, and cocktails. Whether you're in the mood for a classic cocktail or simply a cold one after a long day, we've got you covered. So pinkies down and thumbs up, because when you're family, who needs formality?
Now that wasn't too long, was it? On with the show.
All right, we're back. Hey, Lonnie, I'm glad that you decided to be subject to me twice.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, I can't, I'm not responsible for Ken whatsoever.
No,
so.
No one is.
No. But let's, I want to talk about the competition you got coming up, because I think this is pretty cool, too. Mm-hmm. This is definitely... And just because you're on the male show, we do have some female followers.
Okay.
But you don't just work with men. You work with...
I work with everybody.
Everybody. Yeah. I know that April, my host, my other... The lady that created the Glow Up, went and toured your studio, and she's interested in doing some stuff with you, too. So, anyway, with all that being said, let's go back to... You are getting ready to compete at the age, and I think you told us earlier it was 76 years old.
That's my joking age. Because when I retired, people are like, oh, you look so young to retire. I'm like, man, I'm 75. Look, I did Vietnam. And I say it so fast, and they're like, what? But no, I'm actually 48. So I just turned 48 this past December.
And you're going to go, do we drop something? You're going to go do a competition, a weightlifting...
not weightlifting, this is a bodybuilding competition.
Bodybuilding, that's what I meant.
Yeah, bodybuilding competition. So this is... I did my first bodybuilding competition in Corozal, Belize. I did the men's physique, and I actually took first place. I was 42, 43 at the time, and the young man that took second place was 19. So, yeah. I mean, he actually gave me a running. And I competed in Australia. I did the IMBA Natural Universe in Australia, Brisbane, Australia. Then a couple of years ago, I did Albuquerque, where I got pre-qualified. But I was on my way to Vegas, and this is what the Federation told me, because I had to pre-qualify twice, because they didn't send my information to Vegas in time. So I went to Vegas and I pre-qualified. So I'm actually I'm pre-qualified as a pro bodybuilder. So I have to do my show. So this show will make me an actual professional bodybuilder. So I'll be doing my debut.
Is 43 years of age.
48 years of age.
Yeah.
There is hope.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's give your webpage, too, because I want them to look at the picture of you, the before and after picture. Is that on your webpage?
Yeah, it's on there. My webpage is Luminosity, LUMINOSITY-HQ.com. So.
To me, he gives fat guys hope. honest to gosh.
Yeah.
So all right, with all that being said, do we get out? You're going in June, right?
I'm going in June, yeah. It's the weekend of June 25th to Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. Sweet city of Miami.
Yep.
All right, well, listen, do you have any other questions? I'm just sitting here in awe.
No, I'm still just wrapping my head around it, because, you know, I've come across a lot of personal trainers that mm-hmm. that incorporate a nutrition plan mm-hmm. in there, and actually personal trainer people in the fitness world probably understand nutrition better than mm-hmm. some other people do. I've sat with a nutrition person that worked at a hospital that was explaining some things and providing some guidance on mm-hmm. on some suggestions on things to eat, and I'm going, there's no food in that. Why? Right. You're just looking at, there's zero calories, there's zero sugar, there's zero everything. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. There's nothing in it. There's right. no food in that. So so anyway,
then never goes away.
Yeah, it's so. But I have, you know, so anyway, there are many personal trainers who incorporate fitness and nutrition mm-hmm. as a kind of a package deal. But right. but you're pulling into the fold that third element and the whole mental health aspect of it. Because and that's really important.
Because if you think about it, most people go to a counselor to talk about their issues, and really, from my experience, you know, only thing that's gonna tell the counselors help you to rethink, you know, how you thinking already.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so basically, and then most people go to the gym because of their own personal therapy. You know, you know.
So, yeah, some people do, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So how I got here, I guess for me, it was for my survival, because I've had bad experiences dealing with the counselors I had. I've been hospitalized 7 times. I've been on 7 different types of pills from the VA. You know, I was drowning. So I had to find... It's either I could give up and, you know, and be a victim, you know, of suicide, of PTSD, yeah. or I could fight. So I chose to fight.
Right.
Can we back up just uh-huh. a second? Because you kind of threw that out there, and I know you went in, I know I can ask you, because uh-huh. we kind of went into more detail earlier today about, but you had actually called Suicide Hotline a couple of times.
Yeah, I had them on speed dial at one point.
You know, it's me again.
It's really difficult, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, like combat changes people. Yeah. Not just combat, but any type of traumatic event you go through, it's going to change you. You will never be that person again, you know, but it's just finding, I would say, you know, new avenues and helping you to create a new person out of the damaged person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and basically that's what it is. So mine, like I say, you know, and when I call the suicide hotline, it's scripted, you know, and I think one thing that I bring to my clients is I can connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about, oh, you should feel this way or you should. So if y'all heard that stutter, yes, I stutter, people. I stutter. But, you know, it's that empathy.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying all counselors out there are bad.
No.
But from what I've experienced, it's all book knowledge. Like,
sure.
You know, don't tell me how I should feel. It's not your job to tell me how
yeah,
I should feel.
You personally understand PTSD.
Exactly. Because
yeah.
I walk, breathe, live PTSD.
Right.
I just hold it well, but sure. I have my issues. You know what I mean? I have my insomnias. I have my
right.
flashbacks. I have my time where I just want to just let it go.
You know? And you don't just work with people with PTSD. I mean, there's all kinds of kind of mental health areas
exactly.
that you work with people. Uh-huh. It's just PTSD is the one that you're probably most familiar with.
Yeah.
I've
actually worked with people who had anxiety disorders,
yeah.
You know, depression, mm-hmm. you know, with PTSD. So, I mean, mental illness is so taboo because...
It is.
Because most people don't open up because first, it's the negative stigma that comes with
yeah.
it. You know, you just want attention. You know,
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with you. You know, pray about it. And it's hard for me to talk to people because they don't get it. You know, and I
yeah.
think... I mean, I have a great psychiatrist now, you know, that when I go and I can just let it out.
Yeah.
But it's hard. And I don't think it's like people not understanding. They just don't understand what you're going through.
Right.
You know, and I think that's why I'm very adamant. If nothing else works with my studio, I want my community support group to work, because this is where you can come and not be judged, you know, and you mm-hmm. be comfortable in just sharing how you feel. And like I said earlier,
right.
I want to build a battle buddy team in a support group. Mm-hmm. So it's holding folks accountable. So
if, I like this idea.
If you're sharing your issues, you know, if you're sharing your issues and then somebody else can have the similar issues, y'all can connect,
yeah,
you know, share phone numbers, and now y'all hold each other, you know, accountable. You know, you calling each other. Because it's, like I say, again, people don't reach out because they feel like folks don't get it and folks don't care. You know?
And if you have that battle buddy, there's someone who gets it.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
person gets it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you mentioned the military. I mean, I didn't retire from the military, but I spent 10 years in there. It was enough time to, from a young person's standpoint, you know, from the age of 18 to 28.
Exactly.
My view of the world was set, and my view of the workplace was set, and my view on so many things was set. And then I get out in the civilian world, and you know, it does not work anything like this. It's like anarchy, and it's really, really difficult to deal with. So I don't suffer from PTSD, but I dealt with and probably still dealing with some things because of that. Because I look around this world, I'm like, what is happening?
Right.
Oh, man. And so that was really, really hard to deal with. And so if there are many things like that that you could actually help out with.
Right.
And you would understand that issue personally as well. So.
And then, you know, I've been here since I think September, October, and a lot of our young kids are suffering, but they don't have anybody to talk to. So I've talked to a few youths, and you know, they're in that, you know. And I think the biggest problem is social media, because I was talking to a young lady, you know, and she was saying, you know, she had anxiety, you know, she was dealing with, because it's always trying to be liked, you know, like life. And I'm not saying social media is bad.
Not inherently, but
you know, but you know,
it's the people on social media.
You know, some people feel that, okay, I have to have that like, I have to have, but you got somebody who don't even know you. Like, why care about what somebody else, if they like you or not? You know, so I'm not saying social media is bad. It's all about how you could, you know, folks, they use it for their business.
Right.
I use it because I'm a brand. I promote my brand, my business. And being 48, you know, I want to show, hey, you know, there is hope. So it's all about how you use it, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's how you approach it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think, like I say, again, my support group would be good for the kids around here, because I've been here in a short amount of time, and for what I've heard and what I've seen, there's not a lot of things around here for people. You know, there's not a lot of mental health services around here, you know, where people can go to.
Right.
You know, and I just want to create a safe environment, you know, for the individual and for the group to know that, hey, you're not alone. You know what I mean? So,
you know, and as it pertains to men, I mean, there is a stigma with that, probably more so with men than with women. There, it's not that there's not a stigma with mental health issues with women, but men still have some of those kind of traditional sensitivities.
Because we're seen as weak. We're seen as, you know,
we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be the ones that are protecting and taking care of and doing all this kind of stuff. And when we're not, we're made fun of.
Exactly.
Drastically, you know, by men, the general public.
Men are not supposed to cry. Like, I lost my father when I was 11. And I've not once seen my dad cry. I mean, he might have had his problems, you know what I mean? So the men that I grew up in my era, like, you didn't see him cry. You didn't see him. It was like, you know, just shake it off. And then the Army, it's the same way. You know what I mean? Like, you know, shake it off and, you know, move on. Let's go. It's time to come back.
Yeah.
So, but I encourage everybody, men, you know, it's okay. And I think that's what I like about the punching bag, you know, because, you know, my punching bag theory is, if you're a guy and if you need to let it out, come punch the bag.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know? Exactly. come punch the bag. But I am trying to work to be a provider, so I can take, you know, insurance. But right now, I'm open to help. Like, it's not about the money, so I can work with people. So don't feel bad, like, well, I don't have the money. Just come so I can help you.
Yeah, man.
Just come so I can help you. You know.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's located upstairs, of Better Homes and Gardens, which Realty. Which
uh-huh.
is,
oh, yeah.
Which
okay.
is on the corner of Main and Barron.
And Barron.
Mm-hmm. In
yep.
Farmington, New Mexico. And I have to admit, the guy's got balls the size of cantaloupes because
we're talking. It makes it hard to get up the stairs.
Well, we're talking, and the lady that owns Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, not the building, he's going, well, you know, my goal is to buy this corner. I want to have this corner. I'm going to do this and this. And I thought, wow, that's pretty
awesome. Well, actually, my goal in a few years is to buy that building.
Yeah.
And I want to make that the center headquarters for all mental health counseling. So
I think it's fantastic.
So, right, you know, and I'm not going to throw, so if you're listening, if you're in the office, I'm not going to evict you, okay? But, you know, I want to have an office just for domestic violence, just for substance abuse.
Sure.
One office just for, mental illness. And so my studio, I'm going to keep my studio, so just in case people still, you know, want that, need that, you know, that one-on-one time and don't want to be with people. And the bottom downstairs where the furniture store used to be, that's going to be my cognitive fitness studio. So as you finish your counseling session, you can go straight down to the bottom floor and work out. It's going to be, I'm going to have like the nutritionist there, smoothie shakes, food, everything.
Yeah.
That is my legacy. That is the foundation of cognitive fitness. Because as I was doing my research, you know, psychologists have talked about cognitive fitness, but they don't really know how to bring it together. So I'm not saying that, I guess you could say that I'm spearheading it, so I'm laying the foundation. So I'm opening up, you know, opportunities for other psychologists to come on. So when I pass on, somebody can take it and make it that much better.
Yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
So that.
You
so,
got the reins, man.
That's the goal.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. Well, listen, I'm glad you took time. I know it's almost your bedtime. This guy goes to bed at 5 o'clock and gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
No, I'm still awake. My bedtime's not till 2.
I'm actually up at 1 o'clock. I eat my first breakfast. I go to the gym, workout.
First breakfast.
I'm eating about 6 to 7 meals a day. You know what I mean?
He has 3% body fat.
So are you, you've seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know the hobbits.
Yeah.
You know their propensity for meals. So are you part hobbit? Is that what you're trying to say? I mean, there's first breakfast, second breakfast, breakfast.
I stopped eating. So I stopped eating, like after my second workout, I stopped eating around about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's my last meal, so I don't eat again till like 1 in the next morning. Whatever time. So if I eat at 2 o'clock or 3,
right,
I'm not eating again until the next morning.
But you're actually ramping up your metabolism, just keeping it running.
Yeah. Metabolism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got kind of tickled. Yeah, I'm up at 1 to pee.
I'm still up.
I know you like.
I'm a night owl.
Yeah,
I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire robot.
When I was young, when I was stationed in Germany, but I used to go to the club at 12 midnight and then come home to 6. I ain't never going to the club no more. Now 5 o'clock.
Yeah, man.
Well, listen, I appreciate it, Lonnie, and I kind of like to keep it open. We'd like to keep tabs on you.
I would love to come back.
And if there's anything we can do on our end to assist, you're actually, this is the reason we kind of put together the male encounters, mm-hmm. because we want women to understand what we go through, and we encourage them to listen. And, you know, if we can pick up a tip on how we can be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why we do it.
Right. So. I'm glad. I'm honored. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I didn't scare him off, too. I invited him.
I know. He didn't run or anything.
No, well, I wanted to invite him. I said, you know, we may even talk about ball sweat.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, that might scare him away. Well, he was here before us. He was ready to talk about
some
ball
sweat. He's ready to go.
I mean, the way I see it, I've survived four tours and come back. So nothing really scares me now. I'm like, okay. You know.
Yeah, there is nothing.
Except for roller coasters, okay?
I don't do roller coasters. I can tell you why. It's because you're so little. You don't have enough muscle. Even though you're muscled up,
I know.
You can't hang on. They're going to throw your butt off.
I know.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.